I'm Rachel Waldholz.
And I'm Ellen Chenoweth. During our reporting, there was one phrase we heard over and over and over.
The recovery of humpback whales in the North Pacific is really an ESA success story.
The Central North Pacific humpback whales are a great conservation success story.
To me, it's just one of the thrilling things and a really important positive thing to have these success stories.
That's Doug Vincent Lang, who petitioned on behalf of the state of Alaska to take some humpbacks off the list, Rebecca Noblin of the Center for Biological Diversity, which wants to keep humpbacks on the list, and Barb Taylor of NOAA, who walked us through how this whole listing-delisting process works.
So everyone agrees on a few key points. First, the major threat to humpbacks is gone, and it's not coming back anytime soon. Here's Taylor.
Well, the threats that put them on the endangered species list to begin with was whaling. Quite literally, the seas were red in 1973 when all the great whales were put on the endangered species list. It was a shocking bloodbath that was going on.
The International Whaling Commission has had a moratorium on commercial whaling since 1986 and on humpbacks since 1966. And even if humpbacks are taken off the endangered species list, and if the moratorium were lifted, it would still be illegal to hunt them in U.S. waters under the Marine Mammal Protection Act.
The second point everyone agrees on is that there are way more whales than there used to be. We don't know exactly how many humpbacks survived commercial whaling, but one number that scientists throw around is 1,500 humpbacks in the entire North Pacific in the late 1960s. Now scientists estimate there are 21,000 humpbacks in the North Pacific, and worldwide there may be over 60,000.
And the key thing to remember about the Endangered Species Act is it's interested in just one thing. Is this animal at risk of extinction if these protections are removed? And this is where people start to disagree.
So humpback whales no longer face commercial whaling, but they do face a number of environmental stressors that are increasing, the biggest of which are climate change and ocean acidification.
That's Rebecca Noblin from the Center for Biological Diversity. She says humpbacks also face threats from ship strikes, entanglement in commercial fishing nets, and noise pollution.
But the state of Alaska says the population is now resilient enough to handle these threats.
We think it's time to celebrate the success and move on and delist this species.
Doug Vincent Lang is the former director of the State Division of Wildlife Conservation under former Governor Sean Parnell. The problem is that sometimes both sides are right. Taylor says it's maddening for biologists to have to assess the average risk of species that span the globe.
I often liken it to asking a doctor who has three patients, one that's going to run the marathon the next day, one that has a headache, and one that is on life support, and asking that doctor, so give us the average health of your patients.
And humpbacks might be in that position. The whales that feed around Southeast Alaska appear to be thriving. But on the other side of the Pacific, off the coast of Asia, the population is much smaller.
Right, and one solution is to break a species into what's called distinct population segments, and then just delist one segment. NOAA was already 4 years into a review of humpback status worldwide when they received a petition in 2013 from a Hawaiian Fishermen's Alliance, asking the agency to consider just delisting the North Pacific stock, so all humpbacks in the Pacific north of the equator.
And then this year, the state of Alaska suggested yet a third option, for NOAA to delist just the central North Pacific stock, which includes most of the whales that feed in Alaska and breed in Hawaii.
Noblin says that's easier said than done.
It's hard to imagine how you can remove protections for these whales without also putting other more at-risk populations in harm's way.
That's because these populations sometimes mix, especially on feeding grounds like in Alaska, so it can be kind of tricky to manage them differently.
But even if they are delisted, humpbacks, unlike, say, wolves or spotted owls, would still be protected by one of the most powerful wildlife conservation laws in the world, the Marine Mammal Protection Act. Vincent Lang says that double layer of protection was useful once, but now it's a burden for industries that operate in humpback territory.
And again, we don't think that's necessary for a species that isn't at the risk of extinction.
The thing is, most activities prohibited under the Endangered Species Act would still be prohibited under the Marine Mammal Protection Act. So we asked Barb Taylor at NOAA, what would really change?
I don't think it will actually affect any human activity.
All right, then why does it even matter?
Well, it is the right thing to do.
If the science warrants it. She didn't take a position on humpbacks because she's not on the review committee. But she did say that it makes it harder to list species when people think that they'll likely stay listed forever. And Noblin of the Center for Biological Diversity doesn't necessarily disagree. But she says the time isn't yet ripe for humpback whales.
You know, when you're looking at a species that was, you know, in fairly recent history on the brink of extinction, combined with an environment that's changing really rapidly, I think it's important to maintain, you know, all levels of protection right now.
As for Taylor, she says that when a species comes off the list, it's a clear signal that the protections have worked.
You know, I just did some interviews both in Mexico and in New Zealand where, you know, people are saying, well, it's hopeless. And I'm saying, it's not hopeless. You know, I've had the great pleasure to actually witness that with both humpback whales and bowheads. And it, you know, it makes me have, I think, the perseverance that you need to stick through these decades of struggle for these species that really are on the brink.
And she says that's why you need success stories. In Sitka, I'm Rachel Waldholz.
And I'm Ellen Chenoweth.